It was about midday when I headed to the well on that day. A day that actually changed my life forever. Normally people didn't go to the well at this time of the day because it was hot. Too hot to walk and too hot to carry large jars of water. But I was trying to avoid the people. I couldn't face people staring at me or talking about me, so I decided to try and avoid the crowds. I must say, though, that I was a little bit surprised to find a man sitting not too far from the well when I got there. An even greater surprise was the fact that this was a Jewish man. Turns out he was travelling from Judea to Galilee and had to pass through Samaria on his way. I couldn't blame him, though, for wanting to stop and have a rest because it was hot. And he certainly looked tired from his journey. But then he spoke to me. This man, this Jewish man, spoke to me, a Samaritan woman. And a woman of my reputation. Guess he didn't really know who I was. You know, Jewish men were not supposed to talk to any women, let alone me. They were taught that they were not even supposed to talk to their own wives in public, let alone the wife of another man. This would just create gossip amongst the people. It was forbidden to give any woman any kind of greeting. But his request was simple and sincere. He asked, "Will you give me a drink of water?" I have to say that I felt the need to remind him that he was a Jew, that I was a Samaritan, that he was a man, I was a woman, and that he should not be talking to me. "How could you possibly ask me for a drink of water?" I asked him. I mean, I know why he asked. He didn't have anything to draw water from the well with, no jar, no bucket, no cup, nothing. But still, was he mad? We shouldn't have even been in the same vicinity, let alone interacting with each other and sharing water. Truth be told, I hadn't even answered him. I hadn't given him a yes or no as to whether I was going to give him some water when he said something that was a bit odd. He said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." There was definitely something strange or a bit different about this man. Why was he still talking to me? And why was he talking about living water? Living water or flowing water came from a stream or from a river, and there were none of those where we were, just the well. So I questioned him and I said, "Where can you get this living water?" If he knew anything about this area, he would have known that this well was given to us by our ancestor Jacob, and that Jacob and his family and their animals and livestock, they used this well that we were at. If there was a river or a stream close by with living, flowing water, then there would be no need to have the well here. Plus, did this man even know how deep the well was? Strangely, he kept talking to me, but our conversation flowed very easily, albeit a bit bizarre. And he said to me, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Well, immediately I thought how great this would be. How great would it be that I would never be thirsty again, that I would never have to come to this well again. I would never have to come here in this hot weather, this heat of the day, to avoid the crowds. Not that they really knew me, but they sure made assumptions about me. So my response to the man was this: Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw more water. I really don't want to keep coming back here. If you can help me, yes, give me this water that you are talking about. Even then I thought this water could change my life. But I realise now that I didn't understand what he fully meant. Throughout our conversation, this man showed me compassion and sensitivity, and he talked to me like I was a normal person, showing me kindness and respect, which is why I didn't run when he said to me, go call your husband and come back. For so long I had lived a life of shame, and here I was at the well in the heat of the day, so I didn't have to engage with people, so people wouldn't point at me or stare or perhaps insult me. But suddenly I, a Samaritan woman, felt comfortable enough to tell a Jewish man that I didn't have a husband. What a relief to get that out there, to tell him straight and direct that I don't have a husband. He didn't need to know all the ins and outs of my life. The fact that I didn't have a husband was enough information to give this stranger who I had only just met at Jacob's well. Glad to get that off my chest and move on. But then he said some things that made me wonder who he was. He certainly didn't beat around the bush. He just came out with it and he said, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Well, of course I was right. It was my life. I would know whether or not I had a husband. But he didn't stop at that, did he? No, he did not. He felt the need to remind me of the number of husbands that I had had. Five. And that I'd moved on again to another man, but we were not even married. How did he even know this stuff? He was not from around here, and while I know that I didn't have a great reputation, surely news of who I was and my life hadn't spread to other towns and areas. That would have just been ludicrous if it had. Like I said, there was something different about this man. He had a calming presence. He seemed to have this knowledge and wisdom that was hard to put my finger on, but at the same time, he showed he had this humility because he asked me for a drink of water. So I was wondering to myself, and then I said out loud to him, I can see that you are a prophet. It's the only explanation for the way he knows all about me. Surely. Then I feel the need to remind him that we have different places to worship. We worship on the mountain, and the Jews, they think they need to worship in Jerusalem. This was also the truth. This is what we believed, different things. We were, after all, from different cultures and different backgrounds. But I just felt the need, I needed to point this out to him again and remind him that I was a Samaritan woman and he was a Jewish man. Yep, we were different, but it didn't seem to bother him. In fact, he went on and he pointed out some other differences. He said, "Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." Huh, I thought to myself. Things going to change. Well, I wasn't ignorant to the Jewish way of thinking, and he needed to know that I was aware that the Messiah was promised and was coming. Christ, the one who would be able to explain all of this to me, not some prophet that I met at the well. Seems he may not have been happy with this response either, or perhaps he just wanted to have the final word every time, I thought. But no, because he then said the most profound thing of all. He said to me, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Again, huh? You're telling me that you are the Messiah? I'm speaking to the Messiah. Could this be true? There is no doubt that there was something different about him. He was willing to talk to me. He didn't seem concerned with challenging the cultural practices. The fact that he saw me and he didn't judge me and that I felt love from him. It was different. He didn't shame me or condemn me for who I was, not for my past, for my nationality. There was not one hint of racism. He didn't treat me like a second-class citizen. For goodness sake, he just offered me water that was going to quench my thirst forever. When I think about all these things and the way he interacted with me, I actually realised that perhaps he was who he said he was, the Messiah. I didn't understand it all, didn't quite grasp what he meant, but he had just declared to me, a Samaritan woman, that he was the Messiah. What should I do with this information, I thought to myself. In fact, I was still considering what to do when his friends returned. They'd been out getting some food, and I wondered what they were going to say. They also knew that this man and I, that we shouldn't have been talking. Everyone knew that men and women rarely spoke in public, let alone the fact that we were from different regions. And clearly they were surprised, and I was kind of bracing myself for questions from them. But nobody asked me what I wanted or why we were having a conversation. No one even asked him why he was bothering to talk to me. It seemed like they had seen it before. But then I just left. I was so intrigued and perhaps a little bit overwhelmed and baffled that I left, and I even forgot to take my jar of water with me. I left it at the well with the man and his friends, and I went back into town. And then I did a really strange thing for me. I started to tell people about the man at the well, And more than that, I invited them to come and see him. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did, I said. And I asked anybody who would listen, could this be the Christ? And people were listening to me. And then they followed me. They followed me out of town and back to the well to see this man. So many people from my town came to see and hear for themselves what this man had to say. This was all because I simply said, he told me everything I ever did. The people also became intrigued with what I was saying and followed me back to him. People arrived there with me and they urged the man to stay. It was as if they wanted to hear for themselves what I was saying was true. Could this be the Christ? Well, we were so happy that he decided to stay. He stayed for 2 more days, actually. And for 2 days he spoke to us, he lived amongst us, and we heard what he had to say and we saw the way he acted. It was different. It was different to so many other people, and especially different because he was Jewish. The people heard similar things to what he had said to me at the well. And while they seemed to believe what I was telling them, they now said to me, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the saviour of the world." Many more people believed in him, believed that he was the Messiah because of his words. We also learnt that his name was Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, the one who changed my life, the one who showed me compassion and love at the well that day, the one who went against what we both knew were the practices of the day and dared to interact with me. Jesus, the one who shared with me that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Saviour of the world, the one who I believed. Jesus, the one who saw deep within my soul, who knew all about me and still offered to me the living water. Jesus, the one who caused me this deep stirring within me that compelled me to go and tell people all about him, the one who taught me and showed me a better way to live. He was and still is a wonderful example of truth, of love, of redemption and acceptance. He took on my problems and he offered me a solution, a new way of life, the living water. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Well, here we are again. We're considering this theme of Jesus and justice. Here in this narrative of the woman at the well, we see another example of Jesus bringing heaven on earth to the people that he interacted with. We are reminded in this encounter that all people are equal before God and that all people have the right to be treated with dignity and fairness, just as Jesus treated this unnamed woman from John chapter 4. But we know, and many people have the lived experience of this not being the truth. In the material that we have been looking at from the International Social Justice Committee, we read here that it says that Jesus lived in a class structure culture where discrimination was rampant. Religious leaders were part of the upper class structure. Samaritans were victims of discrimination. Full participation in the community of faith was restricted to the members of one ethnic family. And in the midst of this, Jesus was a cultural disruptor. But a good disruptor. He went about his daily life teaching and showing people a new and a different and a better way to live. He wasn't afraid to go against the norm and the expectation to show God's love to others. He wasn't afraid to engage in a conversation with a Samaritan woman at a well that would change her life forever. As we close this morning, I want you to consider four people or four groups of people from this story that we've just heard. And maybe you can identify with one or more. Firstly, there is the woman herself. Do you feel like her? Perhaps your life isn't all that you had hoped it to be. Maybe you feel rejected, like you don't want to face people. Maybe you are wondering who the Messiah is. Well, I can tell you that it is Jesus. And the way Jesus interacted with her is the same way that he will interact with you, with nothing but love and compassion. And what he offered to her, he offers to you. Living water, eternal life, salvation, freedom, hope, peace, grace, truth, redemption, and love. Jesus sees you, he knows you, and he offers these things to you. Secondly, perhaps you can identify with Jesus. Has someone come into your life just as the woman at the well came into Jesus' life on that day? Maybe someone has come into your life that you need to interact with. This could be anyone. It could be someone you know, someone from your family, a friend, but it could also be a stranger. It could be someone who is the same as you, or it could be someone who is different. It doesn't really matter. But what matters is, are you willing to engage with them to make their life better? To show them compassion and love? To make their problems your problems? And in that, change their life for the better? It's what Jesus did on this day at the well. And if we are called to be like Jesus, isn't this what we should be doing? Thirdly, what about the disciples? They are only briefly mentioned in this story. They returned and they saw this interaction happening. And yes, they were surprised, it says in John 4:27, but they didn't try to shut down the conversation. They didn't discourage Jesus from talking to her. They didn't ask questions. And in that simple action of remaining quiet, they showed their support for what Jesus was doing. In fact, they even offered Jesus food. They wanted him to eat something. They were taking care of him. You know, we all need people around us, supporting us and encouraging us as we try to change and challenge the wrongs that we see and experience in the world. And finally, perhaps you can identify with the people from the town. The woman went And she shared her story, her testimony with these people. And they came because they wanted to see for themselves. Her story, her truth was so compelling that they were also intrigued with what she was saying. And they wanted to see who this man was. And as a result, they too encountered the Messiah and they believed. Have you heard about Jesus from someone else? But maybe you need to come and meet him for yourself.